Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live from the brand new Jerome L. Green Performance Space on the first floor of 160 Varick Street. How are you liking the green space, folks? All right. Well, we've made about, I guess we have it configured small today, about 50 people. We've made them very happy, plus the people who've come through as guests seem to be having a good time, too. And we are going to wrap up this first Green Space show now with the finals of our Brian Lehrer show, Satire Slam. We had hundreds of entries over the last few weeks, which got whittled down to 8 semifinalists last week. Hundreds of you voted to inform our choices. And with us now are the 4 Satire Slam finalists live here at the Green Space to take to the stage with their eyes on the prize. And you in the audience here get ready to vote with your hands together on who your favorites are. They can each perform up to 3 minutes, and we're going to have to keep a hard cap because we only have so much time in the clock, so don't make us get out the cane and hook you off the stage.
Or the gong.
And the Green Space audience will vote with applause, as I said. The applause will determine the winner, not us judges. We will only have a vote if the applause sounds like a tie. So if the difference is audible, you've got it. If it's not audible, then the judges will pick the winner. So we better meet those judges. Once again, actor and comedian Faith Saley, who's been with us through this whole process. And also with us now, the one, the only comedian, Mo Rocca. And Mo, whatever possessed you to take part in this with us?
Well, I'm excited because I'm a big fan of reality shows and satire slams. But I will point out that on Dancing with the Stars, the judges' opinions do matter somewhat. So,
well, anyway. You can influence the members of the audience.
Satirizing with the stars.
I think they're very independent-minded, this audience, though. Faith, you two know each other?
Yes. I told your videographer that we were lovers in the 70s.
Yes.
But it's blossomed into something much more constant and
friendship-based.
More than we wanted to know.
The Carter administration was so hot.
Don't get me started.
Too much information. Okay, so we have 4 finalists here. And let's see, let me make sure I get the order right. Charles Esser from Newark, New Jersey, is going to go first. Hey, Charles.
Hello.
You can go to the microphone.
Okay.
And just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Charles Esser. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I have a lovely wife, Diana, and 2 sons, Benjamin and Tristan, at home, who shun the spotlight. And when I'm not slamming satire, I try to do a little sketch comedy with some New York troops and do a little acting I can get.
And I read that your earliest and proudest works can be found at videogasm.tv, your signature acting and writing opus La Couture du Revere.
Yes.
Can be viewed at videogasm.tv/video.
Yes, that is correct.
And what have you got for us today?
Should I just start reading?
You can, or you can set it up.
Okay, I would like to just start reading. With the recent prohibition on enhanced interrogation techniques like waterboarding, stress positions, and walling, interrogators at Guantanamo Bay have been forced to rely on new alternative methods of interrogation to accomplish the arduous task of gleaning information from the detainees described as the worst of the worst. The recent death of accused terrorist Mohammed al-Jabari of a massive coronary infarction earlier this week, however, has brought the wrath of human rights activists down on the infamous prison camp yet again. Officials familiar with the techniques are incensed at the current accusations and have released a statement that the new interrogation techniques in no way violate the Geneva Conventions on Torture and Treatment of Detainees. Activists, however, point to the bloated 500-pound carcass of al-Jabari as evidence that this is not the case. The new techniques, established by a joint team of CIA and military intelligence interrogators to replace the EIT, are now called the CIT, or Comfort Interrogation Techniques. Its detractors, however, refer to this program as killing with kindness and see al-Jabari as evidence of the willful disregard for human rights exhibited by U.S. intelligence agency. When al-Jabari expired, he was enduring what the interrogators refer to as fudging, a complex technique intended to break down a detainee's will to resist their interrogators. Al-Jabari was first securely wrapped in silk sheets and placed on an adjustable mattress set to his personal comfort level. While gentle, spiritually uplifting music played in the background, Al-Jabari was then treated to wave after wave of hot fudge sundaes with peanuts, whipped cream, and topped with maraschino cherries as interrogators politely asked about Al-Jabari's relationships to other high-value targets. Officials insist that prior to hot fudging, a doctor verifies that the detainee has no nut allergies and is not lactose intolerant. But activists refer to photos of Al-Jabari at a taut 198 pounds at capture and insist that what is occurring is still torture. By his last months in confinement, Al-Jabari had found it increasingly difficult to bow in the direction of Mecca and awfully simply nodded his head from his recliner, which had been repositioned for him to face east, while he slurped down mint chocolate chip milkshakes and enjoyed halal fried chicken provided hot and fresh at his request. Although officials insist that CIT has produced valuable intelligence, many interrogators have begun to sour on the effectiveness of the techniques in private. Said one anonymous source, if a man doesn't give up his information after 182 hot fudge sundaes, do you really think he will give it up for the 183rd?
All right. Way to go. So you could stay up there for a second. Now, that was the first time I ever heard the word hot fudge used as a verb. Hot fudging techniques.
I'd give anything up for that.
I don't want to go there. Mo, we had some criteria that Faith and I were using in the earlier rounds. Make us think. Make us feel. Make us roll on the floor laughing out loud, if you can. But we talked about the distinction between mere comedy and satire. So what do you look for when judging somebody who's doing satire?
Well, I think a clear point of view. I think you get extra points when you're in the minority opinion, at least among satirists, among comedians. And I thought that this is really bold. It's politically incorrect, that's for sure. I also point out that under these criteria, most of America, I suppose, is being tortured right now. To me, it's a very bold, fresh point of view, especially among political comedians.
Thank you.
Charles, you have a very Onion-esque voice. I really like how tight your ideas are. You take one idea and you really plumb it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
if they're hiring, I'm available.
Plumb it, not plummet.
Exactly. Plumb with a B.
Plummet afterwards.
I like the little jokes that you just sort of sneak in there, politely asking, about his relationships and the sleep number bed.
Yes.
And the lactose and intolerance and nuts allergies.
Yes.
I like it.
Thank you.
And were you trying to make a pro-tough interrogation techniques point, as I think Mo was implying, or were you just trying to be funny?
I think I was trying to satire all points of view on this, actually. I was trying to satire both those people who say, oh, it's not that bad what they're doing, but at the same time, satire people who are freaked out by what we're doing. I think that there's a lot of nuance in the political discussion, which is often lost, and I think that the best satire points out that, look, everybody's kind of wrong on this, and, there is not really a clear answer.
All right. Charlie Esser, thank you very
much.
Let's call to the microphone Aaron Slattery. Aaron is a writer and blogger living in Astoria. And do you want to give us the web address of your blog?
Sure. I have a blog called The Accidental Immigrant, and it's accidentalimmigrant.wordpress.com, so I'm guilty of being a blogger.
And why accidental immigrant?
My husband and I moved back to the U.S. after 4 years abroad, the first two in Israel and the next two in the Czech Republic. So
you were accidental immigrant.
Yes, I'm the accidental immigrant.
Now you're home.
And now I'm home.
All right.
And I like it.
Do you want to set up your piece or just do it?
Just a little bit. I was thinking about the British troops pull out from Iraq at the end of last month, and there were two quotes that are just going to set this up from the BBC, both British military officials. One of them said, now Basra, Iraq, has become really successful, becoming secure and prosperous, and it feels like a different country. We can see that people are really living now. And the second one was the UK Defense Secretary, John Hutton, who said, I think when the history is written of this campaign, they will say of the British military, we did a superb job. So this is just an imagined email exchange between Major General Albert Throckmorton, Multinational Division South Debriefing Center, Ministry of Defense, Whitehall, London, and Mohammed Jassim Ali, civil servant, Basra, Iraq. So, from Mr. Muhammad Jassim Ali to Major General Albert Throckmorton, re goodbye. Assalamu alaikum, Major General Albert. Greetings to you and your colleagues. Thank you for your departing gift of 1,200 meters of finest quality sewer pipe. It is our great hope to install them before your next visit. In return, we hope you will enjoy the dinner reservations for you on Basra's Open Table Network. When you are here again, I recommend my cousin's restaurant, The Boiled Sheep's Head, is excellent. May I ask a favor? Do you think you could procure a small supply of chocolate-covered digestive biscuits from London, say 200 cases or so? They follow braised lamb quite nicely. Kind regards, Mohammed. P.S. Could you make that 199 cases of chocolate digestives and one case of rich tea digestives? From Major General Albert Throckmorton to Mr. Mohammed Jassim Ali, re-digestives. Dear Mohammed, be assured I've taken care of the biscuits shipment. Old chap, my colleague at the 5th Battalion kindly asks you to investigate an apparent violation at your cousin's restaurant of the one disco ball per establishment rule. By the way, your order of a Chelsea football club jersey and a shipping container of scones seems to have found its way to my office. I shall send them on. Regards. From Mohammed Jassim Ali to Major General Albert Throckmorton, re-disaster. Major General Albert, I am distraught. The Americans accidentally detonated the digestive biscuits as suspected weapons-grade materiel. Though they offered to replace them with 200 iPods, music personally selected by Mr. Barack Obama. I do not want iPods. The entire city longs for the biscuits. The Basra Ladies Auxiliary Garden Party is next week, and I find myself somewhat banished from the fold should more ill befall those biscuits. Also, Customs in London refuses to release the fuel pump repair kit for my 1972 Aston Martin. Please see what you can do. Attached are photos from our first Basra polo match. As you can see, the thrill is somewhat diminished since unidentified low-flying objects are, in general, a source of consternation here. We have had to make do for a polo ball with an angry badger. I shall have a chat with my cousin about the noise at his restaurant. It is impossible to get a parking space there these days. Kind regards, Mohammed.
All right, Faith?
Aaron, I like you create these sort of human situations. With your initial entry, you did the AIG rebranding mm-hmm. festival, and they're kind of like little plays. I like the sort of human interaction. I wish, given more time and actors at your disposal, it would have been fun to have heard those said in, you know, with two actors doing different accents. I think, and this is no fault of your own, I think a lot of the way you write, it's a disservice to almost hear it read aloud. Like, I think what you write is funnier to read. But the only thing I would say is it left me wanting more at the end. I don't know if that was a function of how your word limit, but I wanted some sort of closure or surprise at the end. I wanted to hear maybe what General Throckmorton had to say.
And well, we have to go to a break in 30 seconds. What you got?
I smell sitcom, Hogan's Heroes. It's a great achievement if you can take a grisly situation and find, as Faith says, very human comedy in the mundane with this grisly background, which somehow makes those human situations pop even more. I was very impressed.
Great. All right, we'll continue in a minute from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space with our final two Satire Slam finalists. Brian Lehrer on WNYC from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space on the first floor of 160 Varick Street. We're doing the finals of our Brian Lehrer Show Satire Slam. Two to go, and the clock is our enemy. So let's just dive right in. Quinn Raymond is our next finalist. Quinn, what do you do for a living?
I do network infrastructure consulting. It's very glamorous, very exciting.
Sounds very glamorous.
On the side, I play music. You can go to quinnraymond.com and download my last album.
You did a This I Believe parody last time around. What are you doing now?
I am also going to do that. And I just want to say that, Brian, I am extremely excited to be here. This is kind of like an anxiety dream for me. I actually had this dream similar. But I am a first-time listener, though, but an extremely long-time crazy caller. So
that was you.
That was me.
Okay, go for it.
You changed your number, by the way. Is that...
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. This I believe. I believe that the New York City that I grew up in as a child was a very different place. The danger, the uncertainty, the giant glacier stretched across the Hudson Valley. It was all so edgy. I believe that as part of their current rebranding effort, perhaps the Republicans should change their mascot to a more relevant animal. Maybe a domesticated chimp who broods silently for years before eventually snapping and going into a prescription drug-induced rage. Or maybe one of those condors that is so close to extinction that it is forced to mate with its own sister for lack of a better option. I believe that Governor Patterson is hustling us. He is only pretending to be incompetent, and when we double down, he's going to turn out to be a pro and take all our money. I believe that if given the choice, I would rather pay $2 for a seat on the D train than $2,700 to sit behind home plate in a half-empty stadium. And I believe that if a lowly billionaire can work his way up to become the mayor of the greatest city in the world, then truly anything is possible. I want to say I believe in the future of gay marriage. I believe it could become a reality in states like Alabama, provided there is a caveat in the law that ensures that both partners are from the same family. I believe that there is nothing funny about swine flu or bird flu. However, if we get a flying pig flu, that would be funny. I believe that God is always watching us, especially when you're on the internet. And when you die and you are at the pearly gates, St. Peter will pull up a list of all the comments you ever posted on various blogs. Baby Hitler 17, you are screwed. I believe in self-discovery through the power of Facebook. Why, just this week, I learned that if I were a Ken Burns documentary, I would be Jazz Volume 3. I believe that when you retire, your best years are still ahead of you, which is why I'm so excited about the new track featuring Kanye West, Missy Elliott, Young Jeezy, and Justice David Souter. I want to say, I believe we need real reform on Wall Street. Let's treat hedge funds the same way we treat casinos, in that only Indian tribes should be allowed to run them. And finally, I want to say this, Brian. I believe that neither Arlen nor Phil Spector are where I need them to be on gun control. This, I believe.
Thank you very much. Quinn, have a seat. Because of time, Jerry, come on right up with your guitar. But gosh, that was really good.
It was. I like the you got in a Souter joke. Really fresh jokes.
You updated it from last week's version with the Souter joke.
Well, I tried. I did a whole nother piece that was the history of New York City in 300 words, but I thought this was going to do a little better. So,
Mo, good delivery, but was it satire?
It was satire, and the thing that can get lost, especially in, you know, when you talk about satire and point of view, is that first and foremost, it's got to be funny. Funny is the most important thing in the end, and sometimes if point of view or big ticket items are sacrificed in that pursuit, that's fine. That's the important thing to keep the audience with
All
you.
Right.
And hooray for good old fashioned jokes and parody. That was very funny.
Which
Thanks,
brings
Mo.
Us to our final. Finalist Jerry Siegel, if you were watching last week, listening or watching, his YouTube video is what we played as his semifinal entry. The song that he wrote called Jacques the Wall Street Tailor, and Jerry is going to sing that for us. Jerry was very active in the folk revival of the 1960s. He's retired from Columbia University and back at writing and performing and recording music full time. Jerry Siegel, we're all ears.
Jacques, the Wall Street tailor, can baste hems and talk trade all night. Jacques, the Wall Street tailor, these pants don't fall right. Got into some bad housing derivatives, then the floor fell through. I'm leaving town, so take the cuffs down and I'll call you. Jacques, the crotch is a bit tight. Ooh, it's beginning to pinch. The Justice Department got me up in their sights. I cook the books at Merrill Lynch. They don't care, Madoff with my annuity, no. Saks Fifth Avenue. I got a visa, I'm off to Ibiza. I'll text you. Oh, how wonderful life was in the spring. All anticipation, no regulation. We all just live like we were kings. Jacques, I heard you're closing the business, and your name is Julius after all. Give my regards to your family. They'll get food stamps in the fall. Me, a muddle through on the islands. The tarp will see me through. I'm leaving town till this turns round. I got a new visa. Oh, la visa. Jacques, don't be bitter. I found a new fitter. His name is Drew. I think that sucker's name is Marvin.
Julius was my favorite line, too. Nicely done. Mo?
I love that you're willing to make fun of your own history, in a way, with folk music, something that's probably held in a little too much reverence. And I thought that that was really sly. And it's also no small thing that you play well and sing well. And that always makes it funnier, I think, when you're actually good at it.
Thank you.
Now, you do mean everybody's own heritage being held in too high esteem, not his.
No,
just making sure, because we can get the emails and the letters and the pickets outside the glass
window. It was never that good. No, I don't know.
All right, Faith, a quick thought.
This goes for all you guys. I wish you could see people appreciate what the audience is smiling the whole time whenever any of you was performing. My criticism is also a compliment. I would reiterate everything we said before. I like how many layers are in your song. And I would just wish for more. A Philip, a key change, something more.
So, audience at the Green Space, it is time to vote.
This is a very attractive audience, by the way.
And very well dressed.
It's really attractive.
It's those guys who are supposed to be praising and slathering the audience.
Trying to get people to come down.
We have at stake a very attractive bag of WNYC swag.
Ooh.
The tote bag that people pledge good money for, filled
Mugs.
With a Green Space T-shirt and other stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to vote for Charlie Esser, let's hear it. All right. For Erin Slattery. For Quinn Raymond.
Ooh, some whoops.
And for Jerry Siegel. Uh-oh, I think the control room heard a three-way tie. What did you guys hear?
This reminds me of Queen for a Day. It always made me uncomfortable.
Like,
you know, who do you feel worse for? No, I don't.
Is there a judge's save?
What?
Oh, that was an American Idol reference, a judge's save.
A judge's save. We save everybody, but we're going to run out of time. I think I heard a tie between Jerry and Quinn. So let's have a runoff for Quinn. And for Jerry Siegel. The singer wins the day. Jerry Siegel is our Satire Slam winner. You get 15 seconds to say whatever you want.
We're going to
sing you off. I'm getting ready for my next one. I'm going to be doing a satire called Teacher. So I'm going to go to the next...
All right. And where can we hear that?
I'm putting it on YouTube as we speak.
We will look for it. Jerry Siegel, S-E-G-A-L.
Yeah, Morocco, you can get... Can I just say one thing? Reverb Nation, Jerry Siegel. DreamerNation.com, Jerry Siegel.
You got it. Morocco, where can we see you? Anything
CBS
coming up?
News Sunday morning.
Faith, anything?
Oh, my dad will send out an email if anything's going on.
Okay. We'll look for it. Folks, there is another Green Space event tonight as Cornell West kicks off the next New York Conversation series here tonight. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. We had so many people help with this on the media. Oh, that's at 1 o'clock this afternoon, by the way, so we're going to have to clear the room. Jamie York and Nazanin Rafsanjani from On the Media helped out. Andrea Salenzi and Ben Walker, our great culture team. Irene Trudell and Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. The Green Space team, Gil Schuster, Sue Edwards, Indira Edwaru, Kristen Smith, Ricardo Fernandez, and Bill Porter. Our producer, Megan Ryan, with Paige Cowett, Lisa Allison, and Jody Avergan. Our interns, Kira Feldman and Justin Pastana. I'm Brian Lehrer. Thank you all so much for coming to the Green Space.